Good morning, everyone. I'm not used to holding a mic. I usually just shout, but I'll be polite because I'm a guest in your church. Turn with me, please, to the scriptures. We'll go to Mark's Gospel, and it's chapter 6. We're going to read from, this is about the feeding of the 5,000, and we're going to read from verse 34 to verse 44, 10 verses. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and that now the time is far past," or it's getting late. "Send them away," or "send the people away, so that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, to buy themselves bread, because they have nothing to eat." Jesus answered and said to his disciples, "You give them something to eat." And they replied, "Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?" Question. He said to them, "How many loaves have you got? Go and see." And when they knew, they came back and said to Jesus, "We have 5 loaves." These weren't big loaves of bread. They were just small homemade barley loaves of bread. "We have 5 loaves and 2 fishes." And Jesus commanded them to make all the people sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he, Jesus, had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven. He blessed them and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples, or gave them back to his disciples to set before the people, or to serve the people. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And afterwards they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. I'm not going to preach on this. I'm just going to lay it down as a pretext to what I'm going to share with you about what's happening locally later this year. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "There's too many people here for us to meet their needs. There's 12 of us, there's about 5,000 or more of them." And the disciples said to Jesus, "Let us send them away." Now that happened with them, but we are here, this is now, and this is us. So the situation is generally the same. Jesus said 2,000 years ago, "Lift up your eyes, behold, the fields are white unto harvest. It's the laborers that are few." And the same situation applies today. And whether you live in Peterhead or Fraserburgh or Ellen or Inverurie or Banff, the church could well say, "Lord, there are so many people out there not saved. There are so many people with so many needs. And comparatively speaking, there's so few of us. Send them away." In other words, it's someone else's problem. There's got to be something else that's got to be done about this. Someone else has got the answer. And the Lord said to them, "You feed them." He said, "You do it." And they said to him, "How can we do it?" There's this lovely dialogue going on. And he said to them, "What have you got? Go and see." And the Lord spoke this in my heart about 15 years ago. And he said, "Go and say to my church, wherever you go, what have you got?" And they said, when they found out, "We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish." Duh. That's really going to help, isn't it? In other words, they must have been thinking, their internal dialogue must have been, "This is a hopeless situation." And he said, "Give it to me." He said to them, "You think you've only got a little to give. Give me the little that you've got. Give it to me." And he took it, he blessed it, he broke it, he looked up to heaven, and he gave them back what they had given him. What they had invested in him, the little that they had, I've only got. I've been saved 40 years. And most of God's wonderful people, when you ask them, they say, well, I've only got. And the wonderful truth is, what I've only got is enough. It's more than enough. If we are prepared to commit it to the service of God. And they gave him what they had, as little as it was. And he broke it, he blessed it, he gave it back to them. And he told them to serve the people. And they met the needs of 5,000 men. There may have been more, 5,000 men. So there's a wonderful principle there in the feeding of the 5,000. It's not what we've got, it's what we prepare to give collectively. And the power of the church and the effectiveness and the influence of the church is contained within the contribution of each individual. Amen? Now, usually I'll preach on that for about 45 minutes, but that's just to lay the foundation of where we're going. My name's Tom Malone. I have lived in Peterhead for 42 years. I stay there because of the good weather. I'm married to Maggie, who's here. We've been married for 44 years? 43 years. And every day has been absolutely wonderful. For Maggie, that is. We met in London. I was actually born in Scotland, but raised in London. And we met in London. I was working in a pub. I was raised in pubs. My father was a publican. And we met on New Year's Eve, Hogmanay night in 1970, going into 71. She'd come from Peterhead to go to do a banking course in Knightsbridge in London. I was a barman in a pub in Knightsbridge in London, opposite Harrods, that shop you ladies love to go to. And we met, and the rest is history. We fell in love. We got married about 18 months later. Maggie will contradict me. We stayed in London for another year or two, then we moved to Peterhead. We've got two children, Sarah and Tom, and a brand new grandchild who's only 9 months old, Lilibeth. So we had no Christian background, no connections with church, no spiritual history. When I came to Peterhead, it was the first time that people began to tell me about Jesus. And I didn't know what they were talking about, but I found it very interesting, and I couldn't stop asking questions. So, to cut a long story short, after about a year, I went to a gospel service and heard the gospel for the first time, and was completely, absolutely, radically changed. Just a complete, everything changed. The way I thought changed, the way I felt changed, the things I wanted changed. My desires changed, my language changed, my belief system changed, I changed, everything changed. It was really quite remarkable. But what is even more remarkable, that this wonderful change and this anointing in Jesus doesn't wear off. That was 40 years ago. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the other wonderful thing is this, I'm still changing. He is always, always, always working in us, if we let him, to change us from glory to glory to glory. And I have learned this in my own life. If I'm not changing, I'm not growing. So I'll leave that picture with you about the feeding of the 5,000. And I'm really here today at Kevin's invitation, from which I'm very grateful, to tell you about something called the Celebration of Hope. Now, before I do that, I just have to say that I think your praise and worship band here is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I have a problem that if I get lost in praise and worship, I start to cry. And I once went to preach in a church in Fraserburgh. It was Bethesda years ago. And I went to preach, and a young lady got up and sang, and it just melted me. I couldn't preach. I got up and I cried for 45 minutes. Well, I cried for about 20 minutes and then decided maybe I shouldn't preach, and I went home. So that hasn't happened this morning, but your worship band is fantastic. You really are fantastic. To give you some background, in Peterhead, we have had a minister's fraternal for a number of years, where church leaders and ministers get together once a month, once every 6 weeks, and we pray and have fellowship and seek the Lord's face. About 2 years ago, the Lord spoke into us about having a big gospel campaign, a multi-church, cross-denominational gospel campaign. We didn't know where to start, so each of us made the different contacts we made about evangelism and so on and so forth. And we explored a couple of evangelists from different areas of different parts of the country. And that didn't sort of merge and work out. And then somehow, I can't remember how, we became engaged with the Billy Graham organization. And cut a long story short, the Billy Graham organization were approached by us and a gentleman by the name of Victor Ham, who is the global international executive vice president for Billy Graham, flew in from Brussels to spend one night in Peterhead with us, and then flew back to Brussels. And a few days later, he phoned us and he said, "We will come." And we thought, wow, we didn't think they'd take us seriously. Because the Billy Graham organization, as you know, operates at a global level, a citywide level. They very seldom go to small towns like Peterhead. It's only a population of 18,500. I knew nothing about how they operated. None of us knew how they operated. But one of the things that Victor Ham told us is they get requests from all over the world all the time for the Billy Graham organization to put on campaigns. And they only ever say yes if the Lord has already spoken to them in advance about it. And what Victor told us is that for 2 years, the Lord had placed on the evangelistic team in North Carolina, I'm always mixing it up with South Carolina, North Carolina is where the Billy Graham organization is. God had put Scotland on their heart, but they didn't know how to come, they didn't know who to come for, they didn't know who to come with, and they were waiting for the call. And the call came out of the northeast of Scotland. And they said, "We will come. We don't know how we'll do it." We said, "Well, we don't know how we'll do it." They said, "Good, we're both on the same page. We will come." Victor visited us one more time, and then what we learned is that Billy Graham, who is 97, he was 97 on the 27th November last year, he has a son, Franklin, who travels internationally, and his campaigns are called, they're not Celebration of Hope, they're Festival of Hope. Billy Graham's grandson, Will Graham, does the same thing, but he calls his programs Celebration of Hope. So that's the history to how it started. The stage we reached was that we have agreed for, it's a £10 fine. Will Graham is going to come to Peterhead in between the 3rd and the 9th of October this year. Now, this has been going on for 18 months. This is the stage we're at. This is what we've agreed to do. And he will preach. The model the Lord gave us very clearly is called a hub and spoke model. He will preach from Peterhead Community Center to a live audience of about 400 for 5 nights. He will preach the gospel, nothing else, just preach the gospel. It will be filmed and it will be live streamed to participating churches in Peterhead. So they will set up screens and the necessary equipment to receive the signal and show the event on the screen up and down Queen Street in Peterhead and all the different churches in Peterhead who are signed up. Not everybody's signed up yet. We have 12 churches on the executive committee, but many more interested. So that's the hub. The event takes place at the community theater, and it's televised. The spokes are that any church, we've had to put some kind of parameters on this, any church in Geary, for Martin, not yet for Martin Bachen and Banff Bachen, who wishes to become part of the celebration of hope, can become a participating church. Now I have to be careful here because the coordination is dependent upon the desire of the pastors and the ministers and the leaders to actually become involved. Some don't want to become involved for a whole host of perfectly good reasons, and the Billy Graham organization have told us this is quite common across wherever they go in the country. The most recent celebrations of hope have been in Hungary, in Croatia, in Iceland, and in the Faroe Islands, as well as numerous states in America, and also a great big celebration of hope took place in Barcelona, where 221 churches signed a 100,000 petition signature begging the Billy Graham organization to come. Our little bunch in Peterhead said, would you please come to us? And Hans Manigan, when he went back to America, and Hans Manigan has coffee with Billy Graham. How cool is that? You know, in Jesus, we have friends in high places. Isn't that wonderful? And then he phoned his team and he says, tell them we're going to Peterhead. And the team said, far as that. A great deal of organization, the way it works is that the local churches decide what to do and how to do it. We have dictated how we want to do things and how we want to broadcast this and the structure of the organization. The Billy Graham organization don't tell us what to do, but what they do, they have a set program whereby they deliver the campaign, the celebration of hope. The first thing that is required is an executive committee of churches. Now we have had that now in Peterhead for about a year, 15 months. There's 12 churches around the table. We meet every month, and they're leaders of the churches that are involved in the celebration of hope so far. What we have been doing through word of mouth and through natural connections that we have, but is to let other people know about it from the outlying areas. That's why I'm here this morning. Invite them to think about becoming involved. And lots of people are in the process of inquiring and finding out, and we're giving them updates and they're coming to meetings and so on and so forth. So we're still at the very early stages. What we don't yet have is published material, but we are working on that. We've had to put a lot of time and work into figuring out how to actually do the live links and all the IT and all the technical connections in relation to that. And we now have two consultancy companies on board who will help us deliver this huge network of live linking to churches all over the place. So we're still at the very early stages. The other thing that is required is that we have, as well as the executive committee, we have what we call subcommittees. Now, subcommittees or subgroups are in relation to, we have about 16 subcommittees. One is for women's ministry, one is for children's ministry, one is for youth ministry, one is for ethnic minorities, one is for people with particular needs in the community, another is for music, another is for media, another is for finance, another is for fundraising. There's a whole range of them. And as each week goes by, it's a bit like a snowball, Kevin. It's picking up, and more people are getting involved, and more people are getting involved. It was only about 3 months ago that we managed to tap into IT expertise who fitted the bill, who could actually help us deliver all the technical stuff. It was only about 6 weeks ago that I managed to find the right kind of person with the right kind of skills, with the right kind of desire, with the right kind of commitment to actually take responsibility for all the media and all the publicity. And we've got someone great on board now. And she's just sent me a first draft of published material. So things pick up as we go along. We didn't have until recently a fundraiser. But as the word has gone out and people are praying about it, A lady has come forward with great credentials and a great ability, and she is now keen to get involved in the fundraising. It is the picture here, Kevin, of the body of Christ rising up to give what they've got. On our own, we've only got so much. But if I give what I've got, and you give what you've got, and you give what you've got, and I'm prepared to commit my talents, you see, it begins to come together like the feeding of the 5,000. I can only do a bit of admin, that's fine. I can only do IT, that's excellent, because no one else can do it. My job is a coordinator. I just coordinate things. But my special gift in the Spirit of God, which isn't mentioned in the book of Corinthians, is coordinating chaos. I was in social work for many years, and I coordinated the out-of-hour services for Grampian and so on. So I'm, you know, just throw me into a mess and I'll figure something out. The other things that the Billy Graham Organization bring with them, I don't expect you to remember all this, by the way. Don't worry about it. We can bring some materials when we get them and we'll give you more updates. We have been having prayer meetings in Peterhead at St. Andrew's Church the last Friday of the month, every month for the past 6 months, and we've just doubled them every second week. And the attendance has been fantastic. You know, the first one of the year was just two nights ago, and we all thought maybe four folk would turn up. There's about 40 people there. And folk are just really, really, people from all backgrounds, all denominations, just really getting on board. The Billy Graham Organization is part of the build-up to the program. Here's an analogy that the Billy Graham staff use. If you picture an iceberg, I'm told, you only see the 10% of it is above the water. The 90%, which is you can't see, is beneath the waves. And they say that to put on a celebration of hope, it is 45% preparation before the week's preaching. It's 45% preservation after the week's preaching. The 10% that you see is the evangelist on his platform declaring the gospel on a huge public platform. So there's a lot of preparation, and there's a lot of preservation afterwards. And there's three things that I'll say briefly about what the Billy Graham Organization is part of their program, is they have something called Operation Andrew, / Bring a Friend. And the model that they use is if every believer in the local community, or every believer in participating churches, brings one friend every night, you've doubled the size of the church, potentially, immediately. They say you can prepare everything, you can have all the technical stuff in place, but if the saints aren't prepared to bring a friend, it's not going to work. The Bring a Friend, Operation Andrew, is something that they train people in as part of the build-up to the event in October. The second thing that they train people in is Christian life witness training. Part of the vision and the purpose of the Billy Graham Organization is this. The church is the church, which is wonderful. And the church contains so many ministries and bodies and talents and gifts in the local communities all over the world. The Billy Graham Organization are evangelists. They bring the evangelist to facilitate the church, to proclaim the gospel on a bigger platform than possibly it's being proclaimed at a local level. So what they also do is the Christian life witness training. They engage with local Christians, local believers, to refresh their capacity and their confidence to witness to their friends and their neighbors and their family and so on and so forth. And the third thing that they will be doing training in is counseling. When appeals are made at the actual event, at the live event, and in the churches who are participating, when appeals are made, it's imperative that the church has identified counselors to be trained in counseling people who come forward, not just on the night, but on the follow-up. So the Billy Graham Organization, I'm not actually a spokesperson for the Billy Graham Organization, but they might give me a job after this, who knows? It is not a hit and run strategy. It is a partnership facilitating strategy of reintroducing global evangelism to and through the local church to bring change that lasts. Because Ephesians 4 talks about the work of the pastor, the evangelist, the apostle, the prophet, the teacher, is to equip the saints. So it's the evangelistic wing of the global church coming and equipping and refreshing the church in the work of evangelism, because ultimately and absolutely we are all evangelists. So between now and March, we will be having 4 announcement rallies that will be publicized through the media, through leaflets, through letters to pastors and leaders and ministers. There will be an announcement rally in Peterhead for Peterhead pastors, leaders, and ministers. There will be an announcement rally in Fraserburgh. We don't have the dates yet for the same. There will be one up in Banff and one in Inverurie, so that pastors, ministers, and leaders can come and get this information, but in a more comprehensive, visual way. And it will be presented by ourselves, but also by Billy Graham's staff from Europe and from the USA. So that's part of the process of informing the church about this as well. There'll be announcement rallies. Participating churches, whether they're in Peterhead, any participating church that is, well, all the participating churches will be at the end of a live feed. We will have technical crews and technical staff who will, if a church wants to become a participating church, a couple of things. A, they need to engage with the Billy Graham personnel training program. It's essential. 2, they need to have the prerequisite equipment, a hall, a screen, linked to the internet, broadband, and a projector, and technical people on the ground to run it. And we can actually get people trained in that and supported in that. So if a church in Port Soy wants to do it, they will need that mini team. If a church in the Broch wants to do it, they will need that team. But the wonderful thing is that churches and areas can get together and do it all together in one big place, if they want to. Does that make sense? I'm not going to go on too much more because it's quite a lot of information. The other essential component is that a participating church will be required to have its own prayer, its own celebration of hope prayer team. It's like everything else in church, it operates through prayer. So if a church in Fraserburgh were to wish to participate, they would get involved with the Billy Graham staff. They would visit them, to come and see them. Billy Graham staff are going to come and stay in Peterhead. We've got 2 of them coming over tomorrow for 3 days, and they'll come back more and more. They're going to establish an office in Peterhead. They'll have an HQ there. So Billy Graham staff will be doing training with participating churches and traveling all over the Northeast in order to do this. But each participating church will need to have their own Celebration of Hope team within their church, and that team will liaise with the team in Peterhead, and the Billy Graham staff from Peterhead and other volunteers will liaise with one another. Does that make sense, Kevin? I'm about to finish, I promise. Is that okay? It sort of paints a picture. And the thing about the subgroups and the subcommittees is that there is work there and there is a job there for absolutely everyone. Children's ministry, youth ministry, music ministry, IT, technical, media, advertising, door knocking, canvassing, leaflet dropping. There is something for everybody. And I have a lovely quote of my own. At least I think it is, but I can't remember who I stole it from. Kingdom life is not about somebody doing everything. It's about everybody doing something. Back to the feeding of the 5,000. Bring what we've got. Give it to Jesus, the head of the church, under the leadership of the church. Because it was the disciples who coordinated the delivery of the bread. It was the disciples who commanded the people, who got the people to sit down in companies in green grass. It's the church leaders who organized this. And it's the church leaders who facilitated, and it's the church who operated. So getting back to the feeding of the 5,000, there is something for everybody to do. And we believe that by the time we reach the 3rd of October, the church will be so envisioned, so impassioned, so equipped, so prayed up, so buzzing, so involved, so interacted, that when the preacher takes the platform, most of the work's already done. Is that good? Thank you so much for your patience.